Hi, I'm Marian McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is Lee Konitz, and he's one of the great jazz stylists on alto sax. Not only that, he's a composer, arranger, teacher, and there's more. He plays piano, too. I know that because I just heard you. But we're not going to start out with you on piano.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Are you pleased about that? Well, we have enough songs to play here, whether you do them on alto or soprano or piano, whatever.
I figured once I established some credentials, I could get away with the piano playing a little easier.
Well, you were just in Europe, and I guess I should congratulate you for winning this wonderful Danish prize.
What do they call it? That's the first prize I ever won. It took me 64 years to win a prize. And so I recommend to all the students out there, stay around as long as you can.
Not only that, go to Denmark.
Don't change anything, just go there.
But that's wonderful. It's like the sort of Danish Nobel Prize, isn't it?
Someone referred to it that way. I wrote my brother in Chicago and told him he was telling everybody in Chicago I won the Nobel Prize. Said, no, it's not quite that.
It's pretty darn good. Well, let's play something. Here we are. Getting sentimental over you.
Fine.
Okay?
Great.
You know, I've always wondered, like on that last tune, how you develop all those lines. Where did you, when you first started playing, did you start right out thinking in those terms, we're going to play these long, sort of interesting lines? on the tune?
Well, I heard the great players of that time. They were playing long, interesting lines, I think. So I tried to do it my way. And during the time that I had studied and apprenticed with Lenny Tristano, he was very much encouraged that kind of playing.
Did you study? Did you play in school? What happened?
I played in school, and I studied with some people who just taught me how to play the saxophone. And then I met Tristano in my teens and became interested in the music. And he encouraged me greatly to try to play as spontaneously as possible and at the same time know all the information that's necessary to make that happen properly. And it does work.
It's a funny thing. It's a combination in order to do what we just did with that tune, you really have to know the tune. You can't just sort of have the tune in your head. You have to basically know all the ins and outs of the changes and the melodic line.
I think that's essential for playing these tunes. I like to play very familiar tunes and then try to stretch them as far as they'll go. I mean, that's really kind of the name of the game for me. And that could mean even removing the chord structure, agreeing to play the song without the chord structure and make up a totally new harmonic progression, but based on the melody of that song and the meter of that song.
Well, now that's something you'd have to rehearse, though, isn't it?
Well, it depends. If people are experienced doing that, I do this a lot with the people I play with all over the world. They're all familiar enough with all the things you are and those very familiar standards that they're willing to take more chances.
Well, see, I don't know. I'd like to try that, but I don't know how good I'd be at sort of instantly reharmonizing it. Now, you were just telling me something that Kenny Werner did, that he started the tune in a whole...
Oh, yeah, he would play the first two minor chords.
Now, what would he do?
He'd play F major to B flat major.
But... about what it would be, wouldn't it, if you think of the melody line?
Right. And then, of course, that just set the whole thing up into a different direction. But there was always an allusion to all the things you are. You want to try it once for a second?
Yeah, just a second, yeah.
Let me get my horn, okay?
Okay.
So I'm going to play all the things you are without stating anything inherent in all the things you are, except the fact that the melody will... roll by, and then you just react to that once.
Okay.
Thank you. well.
I don't know what to say. I mean, I just, it was interesting. It's something new and different for me. And boy, that's nice, you know, to be doing the show and have somebody come along and get me into a different mode. I love it.
Great.
Now, I've got to ask you a few things before we go into another tune. For a while there, a few years ago, did Paul Desmond sort of get a lot from your playing? Did he? It seems to me there were times when he sounded like he had really been listening to you a lot.
I think he had been. You know, we all listen to each other and borrow and steal like crazy.
I don't know if it's borrowing or stealing so much as, like me with Bill Evans. I mean, I hear something that he did, and I'm thinking, oh, isn't that beautiful? And I don't necessarily want to copy every note just to be in that style of playing.
Yeah, I think it's common property once it's out there. And it's up to us to listen closely and rearrange the parts.
I think it's a great thing for kids to be involved in this kind of thing.
I think of the kids are getting the advantage of all of this technology that's been codified more each week. It seems there's new schools opening up and new opportunities. And just look at I heard a record today by Benny Green.
Solo that kid record. Is fantastic.
I mean, he played You Don't Know What Love Is, and I had to stop what I was doing to really listen to it. It was beautiful. I mean, he's been doing that for a while. And what is he, 12? I know. I mean,
he's about 25, dirty, rotten little kid.
But I mean, he's been swinging hard for a number of years now. And why not? I mean, Mozart was doing it when he was 5, right?
Yeah.
If he gets if you get the proper information, you know, and work at it, there it is.
Well, now let's get some more information from you. You suggested earlier doing an unaccompanied solo on the horn. Oh. I would love that.
Oh, thank you. I do that usually every day in my bedroom, so I'll try to share that.
Well, we'll all think of you in your bedroom.
Thank you.
What is this solo going to be?
I'll play some variations of Stella by Starlight. I wanted to just mention that I think one of our obligations as horn players, of course, is to be able to realize the song, the meter of the song, and be able to play variations knowing how that is laid out, 32 bars, and all of the information that we must know about the chords and everything. So we have to imply the harmonies, of course, but I think that's when I'm teaching anybody, this is usually where I start, just to find out how to really play a tune very straight ahead and then stretch it out as far as you can take it.
I can't wait to hear this.
No, well, don't go away.
I won't. Thank you. It's funny, I was listening to that Stella by Starlight, and I could really follow the melody so beautifully, and I could actually hear the harmony that I would do behind that.
Oh, great.
But it mightn't have been what you wanted to hear. But you know, that was very logical, I thought, the way you did that.
And oh, thank you.
Well, now I guess it'd be a good moment to let people know that my guest is Lee Konitz. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz.
I thought, since I had the presumption to play a solo piece, that maybe you would bless us with one of your own.
Well, this is one by Dave Brubeck. And when it first came out, I guess I took a liking to it and been playing it ever since. In your own sweet way, you've probably played that.
Oh, yes, that's a nice tune.
Okay, here goes. thank you. It's funny. I guess because you're here, I'm hearing different things to play then.
Good.
You know, I guess you're making me think about things I wasn't thinking about before. It's nice.
Thank you.
It's great. I guess it's what you want to do anyway when you're teaching kids. I'm probably just another student at heart. I can take any amount of this. You know.
Well, that's great.
I was just thinking about some new records you must have out, or new CDs. Don't you have something, not only that you made in Europe, something coming out in this country that we can all hear?
I did make six in Europe last year, a small company in Belgium and a small company in Germany. Incidentally, I thought that small company would sell 1,000 records around Germany and maybe on the outskirts. And I got a fax from my Japanese friend. He said he just bought it in Tokyo.
Oh, so, that's wonderful. Now you know it'll get good distribution.
Well, all these situations are different. One's a bass and saxophone duet. Another one is with a German rhythm section I've been playing with for a number of years, and a duo with Harold Danko.
Oh, really?
Big band thing. I was invited as a guest, and so they're all different.
Now that's interesting. How do you do something with a big band? I mean, that's got to be an arranged thing, hasn't it? Or at least for
I
them.
I just stick a chord structure in front of me and point. And then I try to put it together.
Well, let's stick a chord structure in front of us now, and let's do body and soul.
Oh, good.
How about that?
Okay. Thank you.
That was pretty nice.
Beautiful. You're very lovely to play with.
Oh, thank you. You make me feel a lot better.
There's more conversation and improvisation coming up with Marion McPartland and her guest Lee Konitz in a program from our 1991 archives. This is Piano Jazz from NPR Music.
Well, listen, now that we're going to do something totally improvisatory at two pianos.
Let me preface this by saying that I do this every day in my apartment.
In your bedroom?
No, this is in the other room.
Oh, okay.
But the way I do this is just to kind of close my eyes and play very tactily. Not tactfully, but tactily.
Tactile.
Yeah.
Tactile.
That's the name of a tune, possibly.
Tactile. T-A-C-T-I-L-E. It's a great word.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm a real word snob. I love that word. Tactilely. Well, you can play tactilely here. We
don't mind.
We'll stop you. You can close your eyes, pretend you're in your apartment.
I might go to sleep, but, that's a chance you take when you close your eye.
Yeah, just don't snore and don't... Don't bump your head on the keys. As long as you do that, we'll let you sleep.
Okay.
I thought that was nice.
I enjoyed that. Thank you.
Had a nice little theme running through it, except after the first time around, I think I forgot what you originally did, but it was nice.
Wow.
I get carried away with those things. I could go on for hours.
Really, it's all pre-mined music, and that's a lovely space in there that needs to be explored more, I think. If you know what I just said. Pre-mined.
I was just trying to digest that. In other words, we were thinking about it, but not thinking about it. I guess somebody asked Duke Ellington, like, if he thought about what he was going to play before he played it. And he kind of admitted that he did pre-think some of the things he was going to do. But sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
I do think that as a pianist, you were more obliged to do that. As a horn player, you can just stick the thing in your face and start going. That's one way of doing it. I respect very much the people who are able to organize and play what they know. But it seems like that's as far as that kind of playing will go. I mean, there's always what we know, and then transcending that is a more kind of a spiritual contact with the music, I think.
Like a mystical.
It's very mystical in a way, I think.
Well, things that you just start not knowing where you're going, there is some aura of mysticism to that.
I heard that to improvise, you were supposed to be able to stand there or sit there and compose in front of everybody. That's what made this music very special. If you had the naivete or whatever it takes to do that, when it works, there are a group of people out there that love that process. And that's the only way I can think that I've been able to continue going on, because I'm not a virtuoso in the usual sense of the word. And so I just think there are some people that love to witness and hear, of course, when it gets together and is more of a fine art, but they will still accept the efforts, I think.
You mean total improvisation?
Yeah. Well, I mean playing tunes or whatever, but really trying to play them in a new way all the time and not just rehash what's been done.
We could have a go at another tune, you know, Lee. We could do a nice ballad that you suggested earlier, Little Girl Blue.
Oh.
Would you want to try that?
Yes.
Now, you mentioned doing that on the soprano.
Yeah, I'd like to try
that. Like to do that? And you said in 3/4 time?
Yeah, that would make it a little faster than a ballad, actually.
Okay.
It would just be like playing it in 12/8 time, I suppose. You could think of it that way.
I don't want to think of that. I might wind up playing a rock bass.
I'd like to hear that.
No, I won't. I promise I won't.
Okay. Thank you.
kind of fun playing that in three.
I think that's the first time I ever played that tune.
Now you tell me.
I didn't want to tell you before we started.
Just to recap, for those of you who just tuned in, my guest is Lee Konitz. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. I'd like to do one for you. Well, I just thought I'd do another of John Coltrane's things, Naima.
Oh, great.
Do you play that?
I haven't really, no. But I'm going to lend an ear.
Okay.
Thank you. Beautiful.
I like that tune.
Beautiful. John would appreciate it, that.
You think he would?
Yeah.
God, I used to go and hear him. We were playing in Indianapolis at a place called The Embers. Did you ever play there?
No.
A club called The Embers. And he was down the street at another club. We went there on the night off to hear him. John Coltrane and Jimmy Garrison. He had McCoy Tyner with him and Elvin Jones. Elvin, I guess, yeah. That was the original group. Yeah. And it's amazing how just hearing that sort of affected what I did. You know what I was thinking about? How things in the atmosphere, like, change your feeling from night to night. I mean, if you come to work not feeling great, does it affect your playing, or can you kind of overcome it, or what happens?
Of course, it affects the playing, but I decided a long time ago, when I stopped priming myself, so to speak, to play a brilliant set each time with whatever, there's a very large range of dynamics that we can function within, and there's nothing dishonorable with playing at the bottom part of the range, which could mean more simple and more closer to the basic song if you're playing basic songs, and hopefully trying to rise and get as intense and as imaginative as possible in the process. But the only thing that's dishonorable to me is to play mechanically. So I would do anything to avoid that.
Yeah. Well, this is something I bet you tell to your students then, don't you?
Well, that's one of the main messages I feel like I can communicate.
Are you doing a lot of teaching in colleges, clinics and things?
Yes, in my travels, mostly. I'm going to Europe and doing a week of workshop in Germany, and Bob Brookmeyer called me to do a day there at his new... Do you know about that new school?
I've heard something about this school in Rotterdam. Is this...
Well, it's a very, very ambitious program that he's calling the New World School of Jazz, or the World School of Jazz. It's really all-encompassing, including a long list of illustrious players and hopefully teachers.
Including yourself.
Well, I'm on the list, and... happy to be. It's supposed to start in the fall of 92. And he's talking about recording studios and the facilities for the students to play and the teachers to tour while they're over, you know, and just all kinds of things are considered. It should be a very, very exciting prospect.
Let's get into one more totally improvised tune. On the alto this time?
Yeah.
Like Someone in Love?
Oh, that sounds like a good one.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. I enjoyed that.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with host Marian McPartland and her guest Lee Konitz, a program which originally aired in 1991. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer David Glover, mastering engineer Bill Sexton, executive producer William D. Hay. If you wish to contact us, our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. For more information about the artists and music on Piano Jazz, visit our website, pianojazz.npr.org. There you'll find a link to subscribe to our free weekly preview podcast, Piano Jazz Shorts. You can also listen to a recent program. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, Artworks, from the Friends of Piano Jazz, NPR member stations, and NPR. Support for the digital archiving of Piano Jazz programs comes from Save America's Treasures through a partnership between the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Park Service Department of the Interior. Support for this program's original production was provided by Exxon Corporation. Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and NPR contributors, which include the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org, and the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to a vigorous presence for poetry in American culture, poetryfoundation.org. This is NPR.